I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 585. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, we have the man himself, Paris.
Hey, what's going on?
Good morning, Paris. It's like early in the morning.
Good morning,
stuff, right?
Danny.
How you doing, sir?
I'm good. I'm doing good.
Me, not so great, man. Not so great.
Why?
Well, did I tell you what happened to me last week?
No, you did not.
So last week there was like a pretty bad storm around my local
area. Oh, no, your TV. You did. Your TV.
So my TV went down. Like a lightning struck right by my apartment. And so my TV got messed up. We picked it up actually yesterday. It's working fine now and everything. So then I'm like, all right, let me connect my other devices. My Xbox One is working. My PlayStation 4 is working. My HDMI switcher got messed up, is dead. And also my Alienware Steam machine is completely dead. So now I have to figure this thing out. I have to probably contact Alienware to see if I could get like a replacement or something.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah. And dude, I was planning to play the new DLC of Layers of Fear that just literally came out couple of days ago, and I wanted to review on for the podcast, but yeah, man, I'm disappointed. I have a lot of games that are saved and everything, man. Now, is that saved in the cloud too, Paris?
Yeah, it should be.
Okay.
I mean, vast majority of Steam games now have cloud support, so you should be okay. And I'm assuming a game like that, I'm pretty sure has cloud support.
Okay. Yeah, but it hurt me. I was like, oh, I was cranky last night. I couldn't fix it or anything.
Yeah, dude, that freaking sucks. Which, you know, I don't think I talked about it on the show, but you know, I kind of been talking in our chat and stuff with Pete mostly. Mm-hmm. You know, my Plex server died. What was that now? A week and a half ago, something like that. Because, not to get too technical, but basically I have a NAS where I store all my media and files and stuff like that, right? That's fine. The NAS itself is fine. But I was using a Mac Mini to be my actual Plex server, which you guys know Plex serves out, you know, movies, TV shows and all that. You can stream them, you know, over the internet, all that, right? Anyways, the Mac Mini, I have like the weirdest error ever. I literally did an update on it. I rebooted and now it's in a reboot loop. It just reboots. Doom, 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 doom. It will never actually boot into the system. And I've done everything I can possibly think of. I've tried to, you know, do the internet recovery. I tried to do the local recovery. I downloaded a new version of OS 10, you know, OS X, you know, trying to boot off of that off of USB, tried to boot Linux into it. I've tried to reformat the hard drive. I mean, because Apple has the stupid system so locked down, I can't literally just wipe the drive, right? So I'm at a point now where I'm just going to pull that hard drive. I'm going to put a new hard drive in and see if I can boot off of that or whatever. But it's just, dude, I'm convinced. I've run diagnostics on it, whole thing. You know, I've gone into single user mode. Everything about the actual hardware and the file system says it's okay, but yet it won't boot. So worst case scenario, it sounds like the logic board, there might be an issue with that if it's a hardware issue, but I'm convinced it's a software issue. So I'm going to try and recover the Mac Mini, but I've been running the NVIDIA Shield as my Plex media server now, and I was like, it'll probably work so. I'm surprised at how great it's working. I mean, it's almost undetectable going from my Mac Mini to using the Plex Media Server as my Plex server. So, you know, for any of you tech people out there in the Plex and all that, look into the NVIDIA Shield as a Plex Media Server. You'll be surprised at how well it works. But overall, I'm thinking long term, I'm just going to build me a completely new NAS. I'm going to go nuts, probably have like 8, 10 terabytes of storage, something like that, and whatever. But that's like a long term project. But I feel your pain, because trust me, I was pissed.
Yeah, I was cranky. I was really mad, man. Really mad. Like, here's the thing. The Alienware turns on, but I think because my Steam machine, it was connected to my HDMI switcher, that basically messed up that part of the system. So when I connect my HDMI cable that to the machine and to the TV, it doesn't pick it up at all. And it turns on, but that's it. So the HDMI basically got messed up, the input.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah, just definitely in the future, man, use a surge protector. That's
yeah,
what
no,
for.
We had one, I think, but it was a very old one. So I think that also got messed up.
Yeah.
We had to buy a new one. Like, I completely bought one on Amazon. So, that's life, man. Just got to continue.
Yeah, it is. What are you going to do? Which I'll say as a reminder to people out there, your data, if you're keeping it like on your local computer or something, always back it up. Always have a second option. Be redundant, because you never know. Like, you know, people have all their family photos and important files. If you just have it on one hard drive and you don't have a backup of it somewhere, put it in the cloud, Dropbox, it's just something. It'll be fine today. Tomorrow, you may lose it forever. You know what I mean? So always keep a backup of your stuff.
Listeners, do you have any like horror stories like that happen to either your computer, your gaming console? Because I have one. Let me go back. I know we haven't done our intro and everything, but I'm going to go with one. This is the time when the Xbox 360, it was like his first year. Bill Gates was on stage. He had a press conference during CES, and they made an announcement about EA and Microsoft working together, and they announced a demo of Fight Night. And it looked at the graphics was like, wow, it looks real, man. You know, they were like, all right, you could download the demo right now. So I went, downloaded the demo, turned it on, start playing, and my system just went poof. I was like, wait a minute, what the hell happened here? And it was basically the red ring of death. That's when it started. That was the first time it ever happened to me. I'm like, what is this? Why are my consoles like this? And it was that, man. My console completely died. I was like, oh my God, no. That was pretty bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But like you said, people out there, send us your horror stories, man. I would love to hear it. So maybe you ought to do the intro now.
Oh, yes. We should do this. All right. Head over to gamertagradio.com. Post your comments and feedback, or visit play.it/gamertag. Go over there and download our content, subscribe, and make sure to share it with your friends, family, coworkers. Just let them know about GTR. I've been getting emails of people that listen to the show with their coworkers at work, and everybody debates right there at the same time while listening to Gamer Tag Radio. So that was pretty cool. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com, or go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. You could also leave a message there through your phone or PC or Mac. Go from there, man. So this time we're going to go with fan mail, and P is not here. So let's play the intro right now.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, Paris. So we have two voicemails and a couple emails. So
I got an email that I want to read off top before we get into the voicemail.
All right, let's go with that one.
Okay.
Let's go with that one, man.
This one is from Roger. He says, hey guys, I'm Roger, here from Melbourne, Australia. I'm sure I screwed that up. I've been listening to you guys for a few months, and it makes the trip to and from work a lot more enjoyable. Since I've started listening, I feel like I relate to you guys in different ways, and I think you guys are awesome. Pete, I love that you collect comic books. I'm enjoying Civil War 2 at the moment and love it. Danny, I'm like you. I love my consoles, Xbox One, 360, PlayStation 3, PS4, and Wii U. And I do not have the patience to upgrade my PC. Been there, done that. Not for me. Paris, I love that you're always opinionated. I'm that guy in my group of friends and always have something to say about everything. Love your guys' work. Keep it up. Much love from Australia. So, Roger, thank you. We really appreciate getting messages from down under. I wanted to read that one, you know, even though he's just like thanking us for doing what we do. But that's the point. It's like, you know, when we had that interview we did at E3, just kind of just talking about how we all met and how we flow. I mean, that to me anyways, that's the thing that I like about the podcast. We're just having the conversations that we would have offline anyways. I don't think any of us claim to be experts on anything. I will say with the quickness, look, you can listen to me if you want to, but I'm a moron. Don't listen to me. I don't know nothing. You know what I mean? I'm just giving my opinion. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I like the fact that, you know, we all have our own niche of things that we like to do. We're not all just, hey, Xbox is great or PC is great, or, you know, it's that variety that I like being on the podcast about, because we're not always going to agree, but there's some stuff that we will agree on. And I just think it flows great. So again, Roger, thank you for that email.
Definitely, man. And remember this, man. Look at me a couple months ago. I said, let me dream. And Paris was just there dying, laughing. You know, moments like that.
Yeah.
Those are special moments to me, man. You know, because you never know the stuff that we talked about. And then from there, it's like a little trend. We stuck a little trend. And the listeners start creating hashtags based on our conversations and stuff. That's like that's like the best part about recording GTR, man. You know, so. Well, here's another email. This is from Jeremy. And this is a pretty interesting one. I had to do a little research about this. So. He was like, hey, Gamer Tag Crew, I have a quick comment. A couple months ago, someone sent a question regarding the NX using cartridges. And you guys laughed and dismissed this person and told them to get with the current times. I had the same feeling. Any comments on this? Now, I went back and did some research, and there was two emails that I found. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Paris, but there was a listener. He asked us, is it possible for Nintendo to create a system where you could also add Super Nintendo cartridges there and Super Nintendo or Nintendo cartridges? And I was like, that's not going to happen. That's never going to happen. They're going to focus on whatever is new for now. The thing is, if... We laughed about it, but we're thinking basically from that, like, that will never happen because they have to create those old cartridges, bring it back. Maybe a lot of people never bought one. They're probably never going to find that one. So it's just going to confuse the consumer on that. You know what I'm saying? So, and I think there was another email from another listener that he was saying, is it possible for Nintendo to create a console with Android and keep it open source? And we also talked about that and we laughed about it and we're like, nah, that's not going to happen. But I think technically Paris was the one out of all of us that he basically kind of predicted this cartridge and stuff. And was it the cartridge or the controller? You remember, Paris?
Well, see, I read that and I think I laughed at the cartridge thing too. I didn't think that was going to happen, but because I felt they weren't going to go back and limit consumers to that old medium. And again, these are all rumors, so who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
Until they actually say anything on September, except that one angry dude on Twitter that didn't like that we predicted on rumors.
We gotta talk about that.
I know, after this. So
yeah,
I mean, we'll see what the rumors. I mean, we don't know 100% what their strategy is. To me, there still has to be some kind of digital component to this. I think the cartridges would be more for being able for the mobile component of whatever the NX is going to be. But I think when you have it at home, there's going to be an option of having all your games on some type of hard drive. There's got to be some kind of digital component to it, which, going back to what you're saying with the whole Super Nintendo thing, it doesn't sound like they're going to have backwards compatibility, because Nintendo likes to make money off of their old content. But that would open up the case to have some of these Super Nintendo games or NES games or thing like that. But the fact that we're already seeing the NES Mini come out, I doubt Nintendo's going to go down that road, you know, with their older content. If anything, they're going to put out a Super Nintendo Mini and put 30 or 40 games on that. An N64 mint, you know what I mean? They're going to do that versus, all right, the NX is going to be our backwards compatibility solution, and we're going to have, excuse me, cartridges. Mario's trying to choke me out. I can't even talk. We're not going to have cartridges or anything that's going to have the old games on them. I don't see it unless they're going to put out a cartridge, have all the old games on it, and they're going to charge you $60 for it. Maybe that, as I'm talking it through, maybe they could do something like that. But the bottom line is Nintendo's going to make money off of you if you want to play their old games. That's what I think.
I think once this system comes out, the Nintendo Mini, Classic Mini, if that becomes really, really popular, I definitely see this happening where they're going to be releasing, you know, the whole Super NES version, Nintendo 64 version in the future. And I'll buy it day one if they announce it, a Super Nintendo one. Woo! And I'm buying this one too, because there's a couple people in my family that also wants to purchase this. So.
And see, and that's the thing. You know, as silly as it may sound, that we're basically telling Nintendo, hey, keep putting this out, and we're throwing our coin purse at them. Yeah. It's that nostalgia of everything that you're saying. I'm getting the NES Mini, 100%. I'm getting that. To me, it has the majority of the games I want to play. Super Nintendo one, day without question. I'm just throwing my money at it. N64, on and on, all the way up to the GameCube, I would get those because there's a nostalgia of it. There's definitely games of the past I would want to play on it. And getting something between $50 and $60 is reasonable enough for the content that you're getting. Even though you're basically rebuying all your games again, it's different because they're so old. I mean, like I said, these NES games are 30 years old at this point. Why not? You know, it's $60. It's a tiny little thing. They're on the digital thing. And like you said, at that price, for Christmas, I'm going to be buying them for people as stocking stuffers. Hey, check this out. Look, my wife, who does not play modern video games, I told her about this, and I told her the games aren't. She's all in. She's all in.
Yeah, and especially, same thing with my fiance. The same thing.
Dude, when Donkey Kong Country and all that kind of stuff comes out for the Super Nintendo, Diddy Kong Racing, oh, dude, we're all over that. Because that's when we're still like in our late teens and early 20s before we even had kids. That's going to take us back to that time when we used to sit on a Friday night in the house together and just play video games. We used to play that stuff all the time. So, yeah, I'm totally all for that.
Definitely, man. Paris, let's talk about the situation that happened on Twitter a couple of days ago. Because, look, I love interacting with our listeners, you know, good or bad. I'll talk, you know. If people cross the line, I just...
And that's the thing about it. I love when people disagree with us. 100%. Please disagree with us. Give us your opinion. That's the whole point of having email, voicemail, and using social media. If we say something silly on here, call us out. 100%. That's what I want, because I like having that interaction and discussing that kind of stuff. You know, so we had someone hit us up on Twitter and actually just hit up just me and Danny directly, not Pete. Sorry, Pete, you're a scumbag. No one wants to talk to you. But he was mad because we were speculating on the NX rumors and saying how wrong we are. You're wrong. And then it got to the point, it was just a series of tweets, and then he just started bashing us. And it's like, dude, we're not going to respond to that. Why are we going to respond to that? Like, I did, it was funny because I responded in the middle of his rant, and I even said, if you listened, I even said, this NX, whatever it's going to be, we'll find out. And I was like, let's wait till September, but whatever it's going to be, it's either going to be a huge success or a massive failure. I don't think there's anything in the middle for this NX, right? But let's wait till September. Let's wait until Nintendo actually comments on all these rumors, because he was saying that Eurogamer had it wrong and they don't know what they're talking about, blah, 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 blah. But then, you know, then you start bashing us on a personal level. Dude, we're not responding. Anyone listening to this, I'm not going to respond to you on social media if you make it personal. If anything, I'm just going to mute you or block you, because we don't have time for that. Look, I'm grown ass man, 42 years of St. Petersburg, Florida. I ain't got time to be arguing like children on social media. If we want to have a conversation with me because you disagree with me, we'll talk. But if you start name calling and doing silly things like that, dude, we're not going to respond to you. Just bottom line.
Guys, man, please stop taking this so personal. This is gaming. We're supposed to have fun, man. Why take this so personal? Fanboys that get personal too. It's like, man, It's too much for me. I don't know.
No,
I don't
have time but that's crap. The thing with the NX. Nobody knows unless you work for Nintendo. You don't know what the NX is. None of us do. So anything that we say is all speculation, and it's just good conversation. It'll be funny to look back and see what was right and what was wrong at the end of the day. It's just like when we're all speculating about what the Neo is going to be, what the Scorpio eventually is going to be. We don't know. Until it's actually sitting on a shelf and it's in your hands. So, like I said, please disagree with us because I like people that disagree with us. But, you know, just leave the personal stuff out.
So another thing I want to mention very quick. So a couple of days ago, there was a meetup in Miami for game developers that lives here in Miami. So I went to this event at Miami-Dade Community College around the downtown area. And I met up with Nero from Distortory, Yami from Two Infinite. We were there, and I was like, man, it's probably going to be like a couple people. Dude, there was a lot of indie developers there. They were showing their projects, basically, at the event. And, man, when I went there, man, and I got to meet the indie developers from Miami, I was so proud, man, seeing this finally, like, this type of a community here locally. Because of most of the time when I see stuff like this is always in New York City or in San Francisco, but I've never seen this before in Miami, man. And the games that they had, it looked like AAA games, man. You know what I'm saying? Like I played games that they're working on for the PlayStation 4, a lot of like Steam games. Some they had like mobile games too. And the reason why they wanted to do this meetup, their goal is to, the developers are always like, always work on their project, but they never want to show it to the publicly. Like they're too afraid. Like, oh no, it's not ready. So they want them to get used to it. Like, no, show it to people, network, get feedback from people that play your games and stuff. So you can make changes before you release it. You know, for more information about this, their website is called makegamesmiami.com. That's makegamesmiami.com. It's a great, great event, and they do it once a month. And yeah, man, I'm probably gonna be interviewing some of these developers on our show so they could, you know, talk about it. I love to get behind the scenes stories from these indie developers, you know, because I've seen games that's made by only one person that they've been working on this for like 3-4 years, and they're doing this like on the side, like part time, and they just love gaming. Like this was one person that I met. That he's a lawyer, but that's his full-time job. But he's like, nah, man, that's not what I love. I love making games. This is my thing. You know, like little things like that. I even met a little kid. I think he was like maybe 11, 12 years old. He also was showing his game that's coming out next month. I have like a bunch of cards. So eventually I'm going to contact them so they could be on GTR and talk about their games and stuff, man. So shout out to them.
Yeah. That's awesome. Again, that's the kind of conversations that I like having. People are just passionate about making something. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's just you had an idea, you put that idea into action, and now it's a real thing. To me, those are the amazing stories I love to hear.
Definitely, man. So we're gonna read another email. This is from Silent Hunter. Hey, GTR crew, I want to know why Sony is not giving backwards compatibility PS2 games with PSN Plus for PlayStation 4 users. Microsoft gives 2-3 BC Xbox 360 games along with free 2 or 3 Xbox games every month with games with gold. Whereas Sony only gives 1 or 2 niche indie games every month to PlayStation 4 owners. There's so many BC PlayStation 2 games that I want to play, but I refuse to pay $14 to $20 that are charging for them on a PlayStation PSN store. Xbox Gold, Xbox Live Gold offering is getting better and better every month. And on top of that, EA Access gives you access to even more free games for a very low price. 70% of library on Xbox consists of free high quality games, but that's not the case with PS4 for me. Please share your thoughts on this on next week's podcast. Thanks and keep up the great work.
Here's my thought. The reason you don't see the amount of backwards compatibility on PlayStation that you see for Xbox is simply because I don't think, first of all, you have PlayStation Now. So they were trying to leverage that because they're, again, trying to make a profit off of these older games. As we're seeing, that's not working because they don't even talk about PlayStation Now anymore on a level, even though it still exists. Second thing is, I think, you know, Microsoft, obviously being a software company, worked very hard to get the emulation right on Xbox One. And that's why we're seeing the backwards compatibility now. And obviously this is going to play into their overall strategy moving forward, even going into Scorpio. Whereas I don't think Sony's gotten the backwards compatibility down yet, the emulation. I think that's a huge problem as well. A couple in the fact that they've already, you know, have PlayStation Now and mm-hmm. they're still selling like gangbusters all this hardware. They don't feel the need to do it. Now, again, Microsoft is doing this because of competition. When the generation started, they weren't doing any of this stuff. They weren't even doing what Sony was doing as far as PlayStation Plus go, giving away free games. Now Microsoft does it, and they've actually exceeded what Sony has done with that. And I 100% agree with them. It's to the point now I barely even pay attention to what comes out on PlayStation Plus every month, whereas Microsoft, mm-hmm. you're seeing a ton of great older content coming out along with some unique indie stuff as well. So, you know, Microsoft, in my opinion, is winning that war, and it's the niche that they need to keep pushing. I just don't see Sony, quote unquote, caring enough until the sales margins dictates it. Right now, they don't have a need to change their strategy because people are still buying PlayStation 4s and they're putting out just enough free content on PlayStation Plus that it's not become a huge issue yet. That's just my opinion.
I mean, the good thing though, for the indie developers, they are getting now more attention because now anybody that is either have a Xbox Live or PSN Plus, they easily will download these games for free. And now at least they know a little bit more about the game and the company that made that indie game. It gets the attention from the users, you know. And that's a good thing about Xbox being second place. They are doing things like this to get even more attention from the consumers, you know.
Exactly.
So yeah, yeah. And Sony, they're doing fine. They don't need to make any changes. They're selling a lot of consoles. They're thinking about now. What's the strategy of, like, you know, the stuff that's coming out now for the holiday season, 2017, stuff like that, you know. So they're fine. They're good.
Yeah. And so, and let's just, because we didn't talk about it last week because we just ran out of time. Adam Boyles is gone from Sony now. He's now the CEO over at, what was it? Iron Galaxy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a big influence in Sony's, you know, indie game initiative. So let's see if they keep that going. I'm sure they will. He set a good foundation moving forward for what they want to do. But he was a big influence in that. So let's just see where that goes going into 2017 as far as them supporting indie games and how much they're going to highlight those, you know, on PlayStation blog and obviously through PlayStation Plus. So we'll see. But thank you again. Thank you for that email. We really appreciate that. So let's talk about our sponsor right now. Are you ready to save some money and play more games? Then let me introduce you to our sponsor, Gamefly. Gamefly is the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games. Just go to gamefly.com/gamertag, pick your favorite games, and have them mailed directly to your door. Gamefly is the leading video game rental service with over 9,000 titles to choose from. Lets you try your favorite games and movies before you buy. Keep the games as long as you want, and you'll never have to worry about late fees, and you can cancel at any time. They now offer movie rentals too. So go to gamefly.com/gamertag and start your free premium 30-day trial today. That premium trial allows you to check out two games or movies at a time, and you can only get this offer by going to gamefly.com/gamertag. So go sign up now. Start playing all your favorite games today absolutely free for 30 days at gamefly.com/gamertag.
Take advantage of this, guys. Take advantage of this because there's a lot of games coming out later this season. Later this year. And you know, and I highly recommend it. Just try it out. It's free. 30 days, you know. All right, another thing I want to mention before we play these voicemails, very quick, you guys already know that Gamertag Radio is going to be featured in a documentary coming out early next year called The Messengers, a podcast documentary. You know, Paris, P and I, we recorded over there during E3, and they also follow me here in Miami, Florida, the filmmakers and stuff. So they have an Indiegogo page. I know we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but it's doing really, really good right now. It's 36% funded right now out of $19,731. And right now they have over $7,000, man. So shout out to all the backers that have been supporting this, man. So if you can, listeners, if you would like to support, you could also get, you know, pretty cool perks there. You would get like a ticket to attend the premiere. You could get also a copy of the movie and everything. So if you want, as low as $5 or even $1, go and donate, and it will help us big time, man. The plan is they're planning to put this in different film festivals across the country. So if that happens, I'll definitely will be there. Hopefully Paris and P will attend, depending on the location and stuff. So we'll go there and meet the you know, the listeners out there, man. You guys can watch the documentary. It's really, really good. And hopefully in the future, it will probably also will be available for iTunes and Netflix and stuff. But the focus is for us to help the filmmakers so they could go and go to other locations. They're almost done filming, but there's a lot of stuff that they need to do. That's why they need help with the listeners out there, man. So Indiegogo, search for The Messengers, a podcast documentary, and go there. And yeah, go for it, man.
Before we go to voicemails, I just want to say this real quick, because we have other emails where people are basically asking us the same thing. Like John, for example, he's asking us about, you know, giving some advice on building like a mid-tier PC, you know, to Pete and I, you know, what did we think? Go listen to last week's episode, because we really got into that in the second half of the episode. We kind of talked about some tips on what you can do to build a budget conscious PC that should be able to play a lot of basically all of the modern games right now, but at a reasonable price. So just want to put that out there. We're not ignoring your emails. We're getting them, but definitely just go listen to last week's episode.
Oh, that's pretty cool what you said at the end of the email. He was like, yo, thanks for the show twice a week. I listen to you guys while I'm working. I'm a vendor, so it helps me get through the boring days. Well, thank you, sir. That was pretty cool, man. See what I'm saying? Like, you never know who's listening, Paris, right?
Oh, yeah. You never know, man.
That's awesome, man. All right, so we're going to play this voicemail because it's perfect. We were talking about PC gaming. Somebody has a few things to say about PC gaming, so let's play right now.
Hey, Godfrey. This is Graded Clover 504 on Xbox Live. I'm just calling to check in with y'all about the PC situation. I keep hearing Paris and them talk about how great PC is, but I'm an old school gamer now. I PC game back in the early 90s, and I just recently got back into console gaming, mainly because I didn't want the hassle of a PC. What I would like to hear y'all talk about is the negatives of PC. You always talk about the positive, the 4K gaming, the cheap games, the Steam summer sales, all this stuff. But I remember a lot more negatives than what I'm ever hearing talk about on the show. Could y'all please expand on the things you have to deal with when you PC game? I tell you, I'm an Xbox One gamer, but I'm really getting frustrated with this latest update that they've got screwing the store up and stuff. And what I really want to do is go into PC gaming. But like I said, I remember the hacks. I remember the, you know, maintaining it and a virus software. I remember all the having to deal with hardware issues every time a new game I want to play comes out. I remember a lot of negatives that I don't ever hear you talk about. Please, please, let's hear both sides of the story. Let's just don't hear the cake and ice cream. Let's hear about what happens whenever you have to deal with the ongoing PC gaming situation. Thank you, guys. I think y'all do a great job. I really enjoy your podcast. It keeps me connected whenever I have to deal with life's everyday deals. So thank you so much for what you do. Peace out. Hey, Godfrey, this is Grady Clover again. I left y'all a message. I didn't alliterate in the message that I meant for that to be directed towards you. I'm all with you on console gaming. It's a carefree, all about the games way to play. And I wish you would kind of put pressure on Pete and Paris to So let's get into the details of what you got to deal with PC gaming. I mean, I'm just about to get into it. I'm going to dive in. But at the same time, I've been in it before. I know it's not just as simple as you got great graphics and free game and cheap games. So anyway, I just wanted to leave y'all a message. I'll see what y'all do with it. Thanks.
All right. He left two voicemails, so it's pretty long. But Paris, I know this voicemail is directly towards me. And the reason why I haven't really been attacking Paris and Pete because of the whole PC gaming stuff is at the end of the day, it's just gaming, man. You know, it's not for me. I'm happy that Paris and Pete are having a blast with this. You know, I don't have the patience to upgrade PC. There's people out there that loves that. You know, that's not for me. That's one of the negative things about the whole PC gaming stuff. Every few years, you have to upgrade. It's a pain in the butt, man. I'd rather just have one console. It's good. Okay, Scorpio's coming out. All right, I'll think about it. Depending on the features, I'll buy it. If not, it's whatever. I still am enjoying the games. Another thing, too, I feel, personally, Xbox Live, the online feature-wise, is a lot better than just the whole Steam stuff. Am I right, Paris? I mean, because I don't know. I feel like they're a lot better than PC gaming, online gaming on PC, personally for me. And I don't know if you want to go from there, Paris. You want to say anything about that stuff, but like the negative side of PC gaming, you probably know more about that than me. But
I mean, no, I appreciate him sending the voicemail, and he brings up a great point. I'm listening to him. He's like, you know, yeah, we never really do talk about that. I mean, the number one thing is price. You know, it's not a cheap hobby, whereas with the console, you can get in, especially if you don't buy it day one, you can get in at a reasonable price and you're going to have a system that can play all that current generation of games. Like, look, right now, the original Xbox One, because they're kind of having a fire sale to get rid of inventory with the Xbox One S come out. Dude, if you're smart and look, I've seen deals right now where you can get an Xbox One with games for like $200. Easy. You know, I've seen it with Kinect and games for like $230, $250. You know, it's an easier barrier to entry to get in on the console than it is with the PC. Because like we're saying, a budget-conscious PC, you're still spending about $500 or $600. If you really want to just ball out and go all out, you're going to spend $1,200, $1,500, $2,000 on a PC. Not to mention, you know, if you're not technically savvy enough, It can get very complicated trying to put together a PC, getting all the parts together, building it yourself. You may have to, quote unquote, contract that out to someone else to build it for you, which could cost you money as well. Like you said, operating system costs. I mean, if you're not running Linux, if you're running Windows 10, you know, like the free Windows 10 stuff's about to end right now. So you're gonna have to buy a copy of Windows 10, you know, if you want to play games on that. You know, not to mention, gaming wise, part of the appeal of being a console gamer, if you don't want to go all digital and you still buy physical copies of the game, you can trade them in. You can sell them to your friends. You know, you can borrow them out, things like that. Can't do that on PC because it's all digital now. You know, Steam has some family sharing stuff that you can do, but you can't, once you're done with a game, you own that game. You can't go trade it in and at least get something back for it. So there's that as well. You know, he was mentioning just the upkeep of your PC as far as having to have antivirus on it, you know, malware, things like that. Because again, if you're surfing the internet, you don't know what you're doing. Your PC gets infected with ransomware or some kind of malware or something. I mean, your drive could be corrupted and you got to start over from scratch again. You know, it's not for everyone. And I think Pete and I have been stressing that over the last few weeks that PC gaming isn't for everyone. But if it's something, and even the caller was saying he's planning to get into it. It is a hobby into itself, the upgrading, the upkeep, you know, building the machine yourself and all that. But once you're in, once you're locked into that ecosystem, it can be satisfying. But console gaming has its place. I'm still a console gamer. I have a PlayStation 4. I play with my son. I play with my buddies on Destiny, stuff like that. You know, I may not necessarily own an Xbox right now, but the reason I don't own an Xbox right now is because, look, Miss Leo.
Hey, darling, you hear me?
correctly guessed that they were going to do something like they did with Xbox Anywhere, and I gambled. I was like, you know what? I'm going to gamble on this. I think they're going to do something on the Windows 10, merge Windows 10 and Xbox. And again, because I went to the spring showcase and heard Phil Spencer basically alluding to it is why I thought that. And I wound up being right. So I'm still going to get to play my Xbox games on the PC. But I invested in a high-end PC to be able to do that, to where they can announce a Scorpio and it's something that I don't have to go get day one. I can sit back and evaluate if it's something I want to do. Whereas I'm getting Neo. I've already said that I'm going to get Neo because I want the highest end PlayStation that I can have. But that's just me. I'm still going to have a lower end PlayStation 4 in the home, and that'll be my son's PlayStation 4. So it all comes down to what works for you as a gamer. PC gaming is not for everyone. There's 100% negatives to PC gaming. There's also negatives to console gaming, but there's positives for both as well.
For both, yeah.
And in my personal opinion, again, this comes down to budget and what you can afford. If you can afford to build your own PC and have a PC, and you can also afford to have an Xbox or a PlayStation 4 or a Wii U, why not just do them all? And I'm sure Pete agrees with this. None of us are saying PC gaming is the only way to go. It's just a different way to play your games versus playing on a console. And if anything, the two worlds are starting to quickly merge. And obviously we're seeing Microsoft is at the forefront of this right now with Xbox Anywhere, to the point it's not going to matter what hardware you're playing games on. It just comes down to what games do you want to enjoy to play? What platform do you want to play them on? Just go do it and enjoy them. That's it. So yeah. I hope that answers the question. If that wasn't specific enough, people, please, you know, email us or hit us up on social media or leave us a voicemail and elaborate further. But, you know, yeah, there's definitely negatives to PC gaming, and it's not for everyone. Like I said, the number one negative is cost. It is a luxury to be a PC gamer because it's going to cost you money to consistently keep upgrading and stay in that quote unquote arms race to have the latest and greatest on the PC hardware side.
Very quick. I know that I forgot to mention this too. Multiplayer Paris. It could be a pain in the butt to play like local co-op stuff, unless you have it set up like on your big TV and you have multiple controllers connected there to your PC. That also could be a pain in the butt too. Am I right?
I don't get what you mean. Are you talking local multiplayer?
Local.
Does that even exist on a PC? I've never done it.
There's certain games that I play that on my Steam machine, which is games that four player co-op, local co-op.
Oh well, yeah, of course, that could definitely be a pin. But I mean, that really just comes down to, you know, with USB 3.0 and all that, if you're playing with controllers, I mean, you're going to have to just plug in multiple controllers. And that brings up another point. Make sure that the game recognizes your configuration of your hardware. I mean, another thing he was alluding to is once you start getting in the mods and just different configs and all that, it can get confusing. It's not for everyone. And it's not something I suggest people to do, because all it takes is one mistake, you trying to mod a game or mod some configuration in the operating system to do some cool new little thing on a PC, and you could screw up your entire system. And again, if you're not technically savvy enough to troubleshoot that stuff, you're dead in the water until you get someone to actually fix it for you. Or you have to wind up wiping your hard drive, reinstalling everything. It can be a pain in the butt, for sure. So that's the one advantage console gaming is always going to have over PC gaming. You have a locked in piece of hardware, a locked in environment, locked in ecosystem. You just hit the power button, put in the game, pick up your controller and play. Whereas the PC, there could be various steps that you have to do before you actually get to just sit down and play the game. Not to mention, and I suffer from this even right now, you could be playing a game, going along, da 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 da, and the whole thing freaking crashes and you lose whatever progress that you had because it didn't save. You know, stuff like that.
It happen with consoles too, Paris.
It's less rare on a console versus on a PC. It happens a lot more on a PC than would on a console. Again, because you're into a locked environment. Now, if we're talking Red Ring of Death stuff, that's a completely different thing. But I'm just talking about just getting a typical blue screen in Windows. It's going to happen a lot more than it would on an Xbox or a PlayStation.
All right, and there you have it, folks. PC negative gaming radio. There you go.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we have another voicemail, and this is from Keon. Shout out to Keon.
Hey, what's going on, Gamertag Radio? How are you guys doing? This is Keon calling from Baltimore. Just had a quick question for you guys pertaining to Tomb Raider. Now, we know Tomb Raider is finally officially coming out on the PlayStation 4 on October 11th of this year. But usually a lot of games that come out a year later, most people kind of lose interest in them for the most part. But I was just reading up on what this package is going to come with, and it looks like they're including a lot of extras. It's actually going to be called the 20-year celebration edition. They're saying it's going to come with the season pass, all of the DLC, as well as some new modes that are coming with the game as well. One was called an Extreme Survivor difficulty that's going to be included in the game. They're adding some new elements as far as some extra DLC that wasn't released on the Xbox One or PC version. So with all of that being said, with them adding a pretty good bit of content into this box, do you think that that will be enough to have people spark up another, you know, more interest on this game on the PlayStation 4 side? Since they already had, you know, the amazing Uncharted, you know, will that be enough to get people to give Tomb Raider a try? Sorry this message was so lengthy, but that's about it. But thank you guys for everything that you do. I really appreciate you guys answering my questions all the time. And with that being said, thanks again, and you guys take care. Bye-bye.
All right, so Tomb Raider is coming out now. PlayStation 4, finally, a year after the release of the Xbox One version. And now they're adding all this cool little things now, the game. And we mentioned this last year. We're like, watch, the PlayStation 4 version is going to have a lot of things that wasn't available when it first came out for the Xbox One. Your thoughts, Paris? Because I personally think it's great. The game is amazing. I think you guys should try it out. If you have never played this game, try it out. And it's something that... I think at the end of the day, gamers are going to be happy with it, man. You know what I'm saying? And now they're adding all these features, plus a VR feature, too, that's not even available nowhere else. Why not? Try it out.
Well, I mean, again, Keon, thank you for the voicemail. Like, some people have been pointing out to me on Twitter, a lot of this added content is coming to the Xbox and the PC version of Rise of Tomb Raider. So it's not like a play... But not
VR too.
I have to look into it more. I'm not sure if the VR is going to be on the PC version or not. But okay. But the point is, you don't necessarily have to get the PlayStation version to get all this stuff. And like Keon was even talking about in his voicemail, you know, it's coming out a year later. How many people are really going to go pick it up? You know, Uncharted 4 is already out there, so you're competing with that. Uncharted 4 is going to be a cheaper option than going to pick up a quote unquote brand new game on the PlayStation 4. And this is what Microsoft was gambling on when they bought this exclusive window, is the fact that gamers aren't going to wait a year to play Tomb Raider. They're going to want, if they're going to play it, they're going to pick it up a lot earlier. And not to mention, again, if you have a PC, you can get it a lot cheaper on a PC right now than you can getting it on what is it going to be, $60 on a PlayStation 4? You can get it cheaper than that. And you can even get it cheaper on the Xbox One, because I'm sure there's going to be various sales. You can pick up a used copy, etc. So, you know, obviously they're targeting the PlayStation only gamers with this, hoping that the Tomb Raider name still has enough weight that people are going to want to go pick it up and check it out. But like we're saying, the game's been out a year. So people that truly wanted to play Tomb Raider, they probably figured out a way to play Tomb Raider already. So, I mean, we'll see. I'll be interested to see what the sales are going to look like, because we know Microsoft botched that launch window last year, putting out, you know, along with Fallout 4 and Call of Duty and just Battlefront, that whole window, it got buried in the news cycle. And, you know, despite like what you guys have been saying, it's such a great game. I think a lot of people just missed out on it because they didn't even realize the game was out. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm curious.
For those that were complaining last year about this game not available for PlayStation 4, look, this is the right time. If you really, really want it, go for it. If not, move on, man, because there was a lot of people that were pissed off that it was an exclusive deal with Microsoft for this. But then when the whole Street Fighter, was it 5, 6? Oh my God, what's the name of the new Street Fighter game?
Yeah, 5.
Okay. When that came out, and that was also an exclusive for PlayStation 4, they were okay with that. So it's like, come on.
Well, no, you're just getting to the silly fanboy stuff. I mean, that's always going to happen because the other side is always going to complain. Well, it's not available for my system. You know, that's just fanboy stuff. Yeah, that's silly.
But try it out. All right. Anything else, Paris? Do we have anything else?
Oh, I got something else that we can ride out on. Because look, I'm not done with it. Look, I'm not done with it yet. So this ain't no spoilers or anything. But my God, Stranger Things is lit, son. It's good, right? Oh my God, dude, it's so good.
I told you. I've been telling you guys.
Yeah, you've been telling us. And I just sat down the other day and I was like, let me go watch the first episode. I watched the first episode and I'm like, what? And then I got busy just with work, so I hadn't had a chance. So yesterday, I binge watched 4 episodes. So I've watched 5 episodes now. So I was like, oh my God, this is so good. Dude,
yeah, really good.
Netflix is killing it with content right now. The Get Down?
Yeah, the Get Down, executive producer by Nas.
Yeah, that's like, what, in 2 weeks that's coming out? So I can't wait for that. Dude, Luke Cage, like we saw that came out, the fact that every episode title is a Gangstar song.
Yep.
Dude.
That's amazing. I was like,
you know, that soundtrack is going to be fire too, man. Oh my God. I can't wait, man. So good.
And later this year, Voltron season 2, which I was surprised. I thought it was going to come out next year. Look, like, nope, it's coming out later this year.
Hey, I said it in the chat. I will say it for the record on the show. I raised my hand. I was wrong about the Lion Voltrons. They freaking got me. I can't wait to season 2. I can't wait. I freaking love that show. It's great.
They're going all out, man. I'm happy to see that, man, because I was reading an article where Netflix, they don't care about ratings.
Nope.
Like, they care about is getting the content. That content is never going to get old. And they're focused on subscribers. How many people are going to be subscribing to the network, to their service, you know? And the thing is, a lot of these shows are thinking outside of the box that the regular TV networks are focusing on what's trending, what's this, what's that, you know? So I love that. When I got to see Stranger Things for the first time, dude, I was like, man, thank God for Netflix, man. They're creating they're getting some great, great content for it, man, you know? So, and I think I read somewhere too, Paris, that they're thinking of having all 5 series for Marvel in 1 year.
Yeah, you know, you heard that. I told you that. Sucker. No, you're right. That, because that the article that you're alluding to about the ratings, that's where that came out. Whereas they said, I think it was a CEO, I forget who was saying it. It doesn't matter. But anyways, he was saying that, you know, obviously Luke Cage is coming, and then next year they're doing Iron Fist, they're doing Defenders and the Punisher. But they're trying to figure out a way, if it's possible, to get 5 shows in a year, which to me, as a fan, it sounds great at first, but then when you really think about it, that's too much. That's too much. You'll burn out. I'd rather 3, I think it's a sweet spot. If they can get 3 shows a year for the Marvel stuff, I think that's enough.
I think the quality should just release maybe 4 every quarter, release one.
Yeah, could work too, but I'm almost thinking that anticipation, kind of like with the Marvel movies, if they kind of stretch it out a little more, you're always, all right, what's next? What's next? What's next? You know, Dude, this is an exciting time to be a nerd. That's all I know, man. There's so much great stuff coming. Oh, another show to check. I haven't watched it yet, but I put it in my to-do list is Last Chance U just came out. That's another like documentary show. It's almost like NFL Hard Knocks, but for college, because it's a junior college in Mississippi that's kind of like the last chance for all these big Division I college football players that get busted for smoking weed, or they flunk out of school. They go to this junior college, to prove themselves again, and then they can go back to the big school. So I'm going to check that out, too, because I saw the trailer for that. That looks really good.
Wait, that's Netflix?
Yeah, that's Netflix. Dude, everything's Netflix now, man.
My guy. All right, I gotta check that out. But listeners, do you have any recommendations? Email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com, or give us a call, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. Or go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio and let us know any cool recommendations of movies, TV shows that we should check out, man. Head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our shows, our episodes there. And find us Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. Share with your friends. Let them know your mission is to get at least 3 people to listen to GTR. Tell them, hey, we have a great show that talks about not only video games, but now slowly talk about a little bit about TV shows and comics and all that stuff. Why not recommend GTR to everyone? Anything else, Paris, before we wrap it up?
No, I think that's it, man.
All right. And hopefully Pete will join us next time. And that's it. Hopefully I'll get a replacement of my Alienware Steam Machine. I'm very disappointed right now. I'm pissed off that I can't play Layers of Fear, the new DLC that just came out, because I love horror games. So let's see what happens next between now and Thursday when a new episode comes out. I'll keep you guys posted. All right, until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.